This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump wants Congress to provide major funding for schools. During a briefing late yesterday, the president asked lawmakers for $105 billion to help get kids back to the classrooms this fall. The money would be used for smaller class sizes, teachers' aides, and making space for social distancing and masks for everyone. Meanwhile, this morning, the White House Task Force Coordinator on Coronavirus, Dr. Deborah Birx, said that it's unclear how easily children can spread the virus.
What I can't tell you for sure is whether children under 10 in the United States don't spread the virus is the same as children over 10. I think that is still an open question that needs to be studied in the United States.
The city of Chicago removed two Christopher Columbus statues in two Chicago parks overnight. And this is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf says U.S. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calling federal agents responding to Portland protests stormtroopers is a dangerous thing.
The fact that you're going to call any law enforcement, whether it's stormtroopers, we've heard them referred to as thugs or Gestapo, that is absolutely absurd. They are enforcing law. They are enforcing statute passed by Congress.
Wolf was speaking on Fox News this morning. Tropical Storm Hanna on track to hit the Texas Gulf Coast. Most of it coming tomorrow, but Hanna will bring heavy rain and winds beginning later today. Hurricane watches are in effect as Tropical Storm Gonzalo moves closer to the Caribbean islands. The National Hurricane Center says Gonzalo's about 600 miles east of the South Windward Islands, packing 60-mile-an-hour winds so far, expected to strengthen soon. This is USA Radio News.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
A high-profile GOP U.S. senator wants to see the impeachment of New York's governor, Democrat Andrew Cuomo. And USA Radio's John Hunt has the story.
Kentucky Senator Dr. Rand Paul said that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo should be impeached for what he sees as a mishandling of that state's coronavirus response.
Well, I think what you found in New York is that we ended up having a horrendous death. We had 30-some-odd thousand people die. Their death rate is about 1,600 per million, the highest in the country, 8 times worse than Florida, 10 times worse than Texas. So I don't think there's a lot in New York that we can look to and say, oh, that's what we should model after. In fact, I really think Governor Cuomo ought to be impeached for the worst public health decision maybe in a century, sending patients with coronavirus back to nursing homes.
Paul also said he thinks about 25% of New York is now immune to the virus because so many people got it at the beginning of the pandemic. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
And the Nationals, Yankees, Dodgers, and Giants opened the Major League Baseball season yesterday. The rest of the clubs will play their openers today. Highlights, the Atlanta Braves visiting the New York Mets. The Texas Rangers will open up New Globe Life Field against the visiting Colorado Rockies. The Cubs host the Brewers. The White Sox welcome the Twins. The Red Sox open at home against Baltimore. And the Astros will be hosting the Mariners. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with the America 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Kimberly Ells is with us. We're going to be talking about her new book, The Invincible Family, Why the Global Campaign to Crush Motherhood and Fatherhood Can't Win. But that's not stopping them. Meanwhile, they're creating a lot of brain damage for us, Kimberly, as we're really not sure. In fact, I've likened this metaphor is that sometimes with these hidden dynamics and agendas that are happening in the marketplace, you kind of feel like you're in a darkened room and somebody's beating you up with a baseball bat until somebody turns the light on, which you have done with this book, to help people realize, yeah, you are getting bruised, you're getting cut up, and you are in pain because of these outside forces that are against and totally antithetical to your way of life and your basic principles.
Right, that's very true. I think for many of us have known for a long time that the family is under attack, so to speak, but maybe we haven't known exactly what that meant or have not been aware of some of the most insidious and kind of unseen forces that are hacking away at the family. And so in this book, what I try to focus on is three movements, specifically socialism and its anti-family agenda, radical feminism, and then also the sexual rights agenda.
And they're actually hand in glove, are they not?
They are. They fit nicely together. Not that everyone is, 100% in cahoots with each other, but they cooperate in each of their own ways, attack and undermine the power that the family inherently has. And and one angle that I think is unique to my book, The Invincible Family, is that mothers, in particular women, have innate power just because of their position anatomically. Exactly. If you think about it, when anyone wants to have power in the world and long-lasting power, what do? They try to get to the youth. They try to influence the youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then when the youth grow up, they'll grow up in, agreeing with and kind of living by the ideologies they've been taught when they're young. Well, if you'll notice, new people, all of them, when they arrive on the earth, they're given to a woman, a mother specifically. And that gives her charge over and responsibility for and joy in her own child. And then it's her responsibility and opportunity to teach that child, nurture that child, of course, in cooperation with a father. And so my opinion is that women have been put in a prime place of authority, and that has been ignored for too long and been, in a sense, belittled, the power that women innately have. But they do have natural sovereignty over the world.
Right. Well, interesting you should put it in that context, and I'm glad you brought up the father, because I believe that both genders, as you suggested, are involved here, and both have their sovereign positions in God's greater plan. That's my belief.
And, right, they're meant to be cooperative.
Right, exactly. So as much as the women have been bamboozled here, and we're going to get into more detail about that, all under the guise of feminism that was supposed to be so liberating, you know, like all those theories and ideas that go out that purport a certain, you know, they purport some sort of goodness or some sort of higher calling, and then you find out that it's a trap, that it's the furthest thing from the truth, that we've been duped. And so you've had that happening to women. Meanwhile, men have been neutered in the process with all the media and everything. So it's these strong points, these functional, critical bricks in the wall that need to be established and that have been inherent. You know, they were there when you and I grew up, but for these coming generations, that's all been compromised. It's like the wall has been crumbling a bit because of the narrative that's been put out there by the mainstream media. You say the feminist, you know, and the other elements as well, but we'll get into that. But I want to focus right now on, you know, feminism and the demasculization of men.
Right. So I want to point out that it is kind of, we are in a dark place right now as far as the family goes, but as the title of my book suggests, the family ultimately can't be crushed because it's connected to our very anatomy, and it's reborn every time a baby is reborn. So the family will rise no matter what happens and no matter what kind of chaos may occur in our society. The family will rise again because it's the primal thing. It's right. The fundamental unit of society. And you mentioned feminism, and there was a feminist, Shulamith Firestone, in the early 1970s, and she said that the goal of radical feminism is not just to eliminate male privilege, but to eliminate the sex distinction itself so that sex no longer matters culturally. So that's a problem because sex does matter culturally. Whether you're a man or a woman, it actually does matter a lot. And it's through the cooperation of a man and a woman, of course, that families are formed. And families form the basis of a solid society. And so at its root, this modern type of feminism, and I'm talking about radical feminism, we all understand that women's rights needed to be adjusted and have been, and that is a wonderful thing. But the modern feminism, born kind of out of the 1970s, is very anti-family. It's anti-man, and it's meant to equate the sexes, not in a sense that they're equally valuable, but that they're exactly the same, which they're not. And they, like we said, they're meant to be complementary in a family sense and really in every sense.
Exactly. And as you point out in your book, I mean, we each have a lane, an important lane that complements the other. If we violate that lane, however way you want to look at it, you know, then we're compromising, you know, the plan and how this is supposed to be working. And, you know, then the product of that compromise is really some messed up kids, is it not?
It is, and I think a part of the mayhem and the chaos that we're seeing kind of unravel around us right now, while there are many, many forces, I think the core force has been the breakdown of families, the breakdown of men and women coming together, committing to each other for life before they have sex, having kids, staying committed to those kids for life, with rare exceptions.
Right.
And maybe we shouldn't be surprised that society is faltering when we've kind of ignored or undercut and brushed the family under the rug for so long.
Exactly. Well, you know, we reap what we sow, and it's out there on the streets of America today. So how do you like me now? What is it going to take? You know, I love your book and the hope that you're putting out there, Kimberly, and the light that you're turning onto this, that, you know, we should all be encouraged that, you know, this too shall pass. We'll get on the other side of this, but hopefully we'll get on the other side of this. As I tell my kids all the time, that experience defines preference. We need to take all this experience that we've had in the previous decades, starting with feminism and starting with the demasculation of men, and say, okay, what worked, what didn't work? How can we be better as a result of this experience? I'm not one to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm saying, look, we've paid the price. We've invested in this. Mothers have paid the price. Fathers, children, families have paid the price of this. Can we come out better as a result of it?
Right, and we can, and that's really the only the way that we can, is by an intentional return to the family, to motherhood and fatherhood. That doesn't mean we can't do other things in our lives. You know, we can have careers, we can have hobbies, we can do so many other things, but our family has to be core. And I think a lot of us have kind of been shaken and turned back to that. And that's, as you say, that's kind of a cyclical thing that happens, and it always comes back. It always comes back to the family.
Yeah, because that is, as some would say, our North Star. It's the leveling. I mean, we've got to come back to some, you know, some sense of normal, if we can say that. I know some people resist that idea. You know, it's like, you know, well, what is normal? You know, because everything has been challenged this way. And sometimes people's sensitivities can buckle a bit when you talk about normal. But I can tell you what's abnormal, what's happening in the streets today. And when we have so many broken families and so many kids are paying the price that we've got, what's the suicide rate for teens now? I mean, it's unbelievable on a daily basis. Over 100 kids are committing suicide. This is all part and parcel of the culture that we've developed. We've got more from Kimberly Elson, her new book, The Invincible Family, right after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention listeners interested in food supplies. If you've ever wanted to create an endless, crash-proof stockpile of survival food and do it with very little money, pay close attention. This could be a game changer. Because the cost-effective do-it-yourself secrets survival food companies won't tell you about are available. Learn all about them at foodshortageusa.com. Check this out. The economic disruption that's occurred in the last 6 months is going to have consequences. Big ones, especially when it comes to food, the availability of food, as well as the inevitable rising prices, which always get passed on to the consumer. The fact is, hyperinflation has huge implications for food and food prices. Smart listeners, you should begin bracing for impact. The good news? There's still time to learn how to get all your garden vegetables into your pantry, stored away, just in case. Learn how at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113.
That's 800-470-7113.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Welcome back, America. Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Kimberly Ells is with us. The Invincible Family is the title of her new book, Why the Global Campaign to Crush Motherhood and Fatherhood Can't Win. Kimberly is a policy advisor for Family Watch International, where she works to protect children from early sexualization and to promote the family as the fundamental unit of society. You know, Kimberly, again, this is something that needs to be heard, especially in this cultural environment where everything is so challenged. I mean, now it's not two sexes. I think what was it? The Supreme Court kind of affirmed maybe three sexes. And I questioned why they stopped there. I mean, I happen to be in the West Coast today. And here in California, I think there's some universities that offer as many as 63 different gender choices. We've got to get on the other side of this stuff, because if we don't bring it to that leveling point, we're just going to continue on this road of madness. Eventually we'll get there. I agree with you. But meanwhile, the difference between, you know, that North Star and that leveling point that we need to be at and where we are right now, I call it the grief to happiness ratio, and I think we've got some grief to pay for as a result of this.
Right, there is a price to be paid for the seeds that we've sown, but again, we've sown them, and we can sow new seeds.
Yes.
And you mentioned the gender ideology and so forth, and the things coming out of the Supreme Court, and that is a challenge to the family, because our anatomy is inherent to us when we're born. Like, it's a real part of us, and it matters. And I really just mourn for people who struggle with their gender identity. That doesn't mean, however, that we should encourage people down paths that they may later regret when they've taken permanent action against their own body.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. I mean, was Mario Lopez made some comment that that 3-year-olds aren't in a position to make a decision about their sexuality. And he got canceled and jumped on to no end. I mean, this is how incredibly sensitive and inordinate the current culture is right now against the obvious.
Yeah, it really is. And I think to some degree we're starting to see that ship turn. There was a wonderful book that came out just a couple weeks ago by Abigail Schreier called Irreversible Damage, that addresses this issue of transgenderism. And it's a crucial one that we have to face. And I hope and I think that we are starting to face that. Another force, you know, that we need to address is growing socialism. I think many of us are alarmed by the trend towards socialism, especially in our young people, that we see. And one thing I think people don't often understand about socialism, they just think it's about equality. They don't understand that it's, at its core, it's inherently anti-family. From the very inception, you know, with Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, they called for an abolition of the family. And the reason why is because the family has such great power that the organization of socialism can't work when the family is in place, because the power of the family works against what the state is trying to impose. And so in order for socialism to work on a large scale, it has to destroy the family. And
exactly.
That's why we're seeing all these efforts against the family right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting because this generation that is so Google savvy and has really been able to harness the power of this information age, that, you know, the empirical evidence is there for other nations that have delved into socialism, more than delved into it. They've done so at a dire price, and devastation is left in its wake. It is hard for me, I mean, unless these kids are so duped and they've been so indoctrinated, why they cannot, or they purposely just ignore the empirical evidence, to think that socialism has any, you know, lasting value for any society.
Right. It is alarming that against all evidence that some people are choosing to embrace socialism. I think part of the reason why is because the call for equality in every sense has been so loud and so strong and accepted on so many levels. And really, we're all equal, you know, in the sight of God, and we are already born equal. Mm-hmm. And so the end goal is not for us to become equal. We already are. The end goal is to give people freedom.
Right.
And liberty, and let them do with their lives what they want. And that, if you give people freedom, that will result in inequalities. That's just
exactly
how it is, because people make different choices, and we have mm-hmm. to be okay with that.
In much the same way as a mother can't help being a mother. And this is what our Constitution, based on godly principles, gave us. And it's up to us to walk in that freedom. If we walk in that freedom, we want others to be free naturally, right? This is why a civil war, wonder, you know, why did it have to happen? Well, because not everybody agreed and accepted and embraced God's freedom and believed as we do, as I think a majority of Americans today believe, that we're all equal, and that if we walk in that mindset of equality, just like we walk in the mindset of the importance of a family, then our worldview, our decisions, our policies reflect that, do they not?
That's right. If we understand, of course there have been bad things done. We have done bad things to each other through the centuries, you know,
yes.
But that doesn't mean that the system is inherently bad, or you know what I mean? So there's a lot of wisdom that we can take from the past as we move forward to the future, but that has to include the family and it has to include freedom. And that means that there will be inequalities that exist in income and in other ways, and families will be different from each other and so forth.
But historically, when cultures have come to that point of what we call repentance, where they realize the evil of their decisions and choices, I mean, look what happened to Germany, for example. I mean, they corporately came together and realized they had to take responsibility. And some were able to, in large measure, others maybe not so much. They just couldn't get their brain around it, but that's okay. But by and large, there was a movement there where the people realized that they needed to repent. And it wasn't, you know, necessarily about, you know, the world at large as much as it was for their own I don't know, mental peace, I guess, if you can put it that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you're right.
No. So here we are in terms of this and in discussing socialism. But I also want to give you time to talk about the World Health Organization, you know, what's happening with the United Nations and how they've malserved the family.
Right, that's a very important element of this, and a lot of these forces, radical feminism, socialism, sexual radicalism, have all kind of aligned and coalesced at the United Nations. I stumbled upon this myself several years ago when I found a document about children's sexual rights, and I was appalled. I didn't know that such a thing existed, an agenda to promote children's sexual rights, and as I began to study and get into it further, I discovered that not only were these things emanating from International Planned Parenthood Federation, but also from the United Nations itself. And what you'll learn in my book is a lot of the forces that are working against the family are seated at the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
UNICEF and UNESCO and UNFPA, all these United Nations entities are promoting a sexual rights agenda for kids. That means they're presenting sex to kids mm-hmm. as a human right. Just pursuing sexual pleasure is their human right, not connected to childbearing or family or even commitment.
Or any kind of responsibility, just a right.
Right.
Rights without responsibility, right. Yeah, exactly.
And that's a very damaging mindset to put in the minds of in children. It's quite insidious. And that's where most parents would not teach those things to their own children. And so that's why the United Nations is working to get a hold of the minds of the young so that they can teach them these kinds of things, as well as a lot of socialistic, feministic ideals that all work to destroy the family.
It's the new religion, isn't it? This globalist religion. That's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah, and even there's one document that the United Nations put out where it says that they, in a long list of other things, they say that children's spirituality needs to be addressed by them. And that's not their role, if they have any role at all. The role of teaching spirituality to children is their parents, and then, of course, their own as they get older. And so There's a huge amount of overreach that most people find very disturbing. Even on both sides of the political aisle, most people, when they learn about the children's sexual rights agenda emanating from the United Nations, they're very troubled by it.
Kimberly Ells right here on Bill Martinez Live. Kimberly, thank you so much. The book will be linked, by the way, on our website and available at all the usual places.
Thank you, Bill.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump wants Congress to provide major funding for schools. During a briefing late yesterday, the president asked lawmakers for $105 billion to help get kids back to the classrooms this fall. The money would be used for smaller class sizes, teachers' aides, and making space for social distancing and masks for everyone. Meanwhile, this morning, the White House Task Force Coordinator on Coronavirus, Dr. Deborah Birx, said that it's unclear how easily children can spread the virus.
What I can't tell you for sure is whether children under 10 in the United States don't spread the virus is the same as children over 10. I think that is still an open question that needs to be studied in the United States.
The city of Chicago removed two Christopher Columbus statues in two Chicago parks overnight. And this is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, live free or die. That speaks to our essential DNA, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that we all share as Americans here in this country. I know some people would maybe reject that notion because they don't share it. They don't want to participate in it. But, that's your choice. This is a free country. You can choose to participate in it or not. It does become problematic when you start burning up buildings and looting. That's a whole other issue altogether. But all that to say that we've been, hearing and reading so much about the 75th anniversary this year of the end of World War II. And part of the problem that we have is the generation in school today likely doesn't know anyone who experienced that time in history. With us right now, the award-winning author Rob Curry joins us. His book, Hunger Winter, is a novel for 4th and 8th grade readers that chronicles historic incidents through the eyes of one family, delivering important lessons. Rob, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Good to talk to you.
Well, I laid out the challenge that we have is a lot of young people do not know the history of World War II, what this 75th anniversary is all about, and perhaps maybe in these waning years they may have had a grandfather or grandmother that was part of World War II, but they since have passed because we're losing World War II vets at such a rapid rate. Another 10 years and they'll all be... But be gone, right?
Yes, my father was a World War II vet, and he passed 5 years ago at the age of 93. So, yes, I think, sadly, most of them are probably gone already.
Mm-hmm. My father as well, so I share that with you, Rob, and so many others, so many of our listeners as well, and we honor and celebrate them. Was this part of your motivation to write this book?
I am passionate about getting kids to read, and I'm passionate about history. It always shocks me when people say they don't like history, because the same person that says they don't like history will say to their best friend, "Oh, you won't believe what happened to me this weekend." Well, that's a little bit of history.
Exactly.
It's contemporary, but maybe the way they were taught history was dates and terms and so on, but stories are pretty fascinating. Part of the research I did for the book was interview children who lived through World War II in the Netherlands.
Wow.
So they are elderly now, but one man told me this story how he was in terror because the Nazis had arrested his father. This man's father, the boy's father back then, was hiding an Allied pilot who had been shot down. So the father and his best friend said, "Look, whether we hand over the pilot or not, they're probably going to kill us, so we might as well not hand the pilot over." And this boy's thinking his dad's about to die any minute now. The local minister caught wind of it, contacted the pilot, and the pilot said, "Hold on, I'll turn myself in. They'll take me to a POW camp. I don't want these two men to die." And so the two fathers lived.
Wow. Yeah, otherwise a different story. But here, I mean, that's an indelible memory.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that little boy. Could you imagine? And the thing is that we're seeing that played out today. I mean, I see, you know, what's happening in China with the Uyghurs. You know, how many family members. In fact, there was a young woman that was interviewed. She was visiting her father in Beijing. She was had visited, was getting ready to depart, and he was an educator. And while they were at the airport, they arrested him, said, "Oh, it's just going to be a minor delay. Don't worry about it. You don't have anything to worry about." Well, a year later, he was still incarcerated. And here recently, they sent down his sentence. He was sentenced to life imprisonment.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So these are real stories, whether it's in World War II with what happened, and certainly they're being played out today. But this is a powerful book to raise the awareness. I mean, because the kids today, as you realize, with today's curriculum, I mean, right now they seem to be, at least some of those that, control the curriculum today are more concerned about a new narrative, 1619, than real stories like this that happened in World War II.
Well, I did design the book for use in schools, public school, Christian school, homeschool, with the goal that some kids who might not ever go to church would read an interesting story with some gospel seeds in it. The setup for the story is this. Dirk's 13 years old. His father leaves to fight with the resistance. Months later, his father dies, so now Dirk's the man of the house. Weeks later, his older sister gets ambushed by the Gestapo. Young Dirk gets a middle-of-the-night warning that he's next. So he has to gather his wits. He stuffs his pockets full of food. He's got his little sister in his arms, and he's got a dark secret in his heart as he leaves home in the middle of the night, trying against hope to find his father. He's got to stay a step ahead of the Nazis, protect his sister, scrounge for food. So when Kirkus reviewed it, they described it as a gritty but hopeful thriller. I think thriller would be a good term for the genre.
Right.
And what I'm hearing from people is they start reading it, and they wind up reading longer than they thought that they would.
Right. Well, it's about life, and you put yourself in those characters' position and wonder what you would do. And
yes.
In addition to that, Rob, the added blessing is it becomes a lesson, is that, you know, what happens when evil comes a knocking.
Yes, I think you're right. Whenever I read a biography or fiction, I think, oh, what would I do in that situation? Would I have done that? You know what? I should be more like that person. Or in some cases, I don't want to do what that person did. Yes, that's the beauty of fiction. We read ourselves into the story.
Or maybe even you admit, Rob, that I don't have that strength. That's not within
yes.
me. And that becomes
yes.
quite introspective, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So you also note in your book, I mean, I want to reemphasize the importance that, you know, we are capable, you know, in our humanity, we're capable of greater evil than we know.
That's been a scary aspect. There are wonderful stories in World War II, and some of them are in my book, fictionalized account, and some are very dark and very discouraging. For example, one thing that isn't in my book. So the Dutch were starving. They were down to 300 calories a day because the Germans cut off food and fuel. So that's the backdrop, the true story behind my novel, and some of the details are worked in there. So the Dutch in the cities would ride their bikes to the farms to get food. One girl rode her bike 25 miles one way to get food. Mm. This is on a bike that probably didn't have tires.
Oh, wow.
So imagine yourself, you are a teenager, you're coming back with food, a 50-mile round trip, and here's a checkpoint, and the soldier says, let me see what you've got there.
Mm.
And he takes your food, and yeah. you go home empty-handed. Or one case, a 16-year-old girl, a German soldier stops her and starts to flirt with her. He wants to take the eggs that she's got in her basket. She says, no, my mother really wanted them. He says, okay. Give me your ID card, go on a date with me tomorrow night, and I'll let you take the food. So she gives him the ID card, goes home, and, of course, never meets him again.
Right.
But that kind of a pressure on a 16-year-old girl having to make, you could say, life and death decisions.
Exactly.
It's very powerful.
And it causes you to wonder how many other stories similar to that, but yet with more drastic endings and involvements, you know, a young girl like that, sexual abuse ran rampant as well. It's just the nature of what happens in war with, you know, oppressors and the oppressed.
Yes. Yes. Something that your listeners might, some of your older listeners, and I'm an older person, might be interested in know that Audrey Hepburn lived through the hunger winter in the Netherlands. Her mother was initially a Nazi sympathizer. She met Hitler and thought he was charming. That was before the war.
Yes.
And then she changed her mind, of course. But here's a famous person. Audrey Hepburn once went 3 days with no food.
Lots of stories, huh? And lots of real-life stories. Though Hunger Winter is a novel, so there are some liberties here. But I believe the readers will get the point, right?
Yes, I think so.
Without a doubt. Rob Curry is with us in our conversation with him regarding his new book, Hunger Winter, on, you know, this year as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. And may our world never experience a follow-up to that, World War III. Only time will tell. We've got more from Rob after this. Stay with us.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets?
Then call.
That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance.
That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads. Our focus right now is the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II, and we're honored to have Rob Curry with us, the award-winning author, talking about his new novel, Hunger Winter. And boy, there's so much. I know when people hear novel, they go, oh, well, you know, yes, there are some liberties. And this is the difference of a true nonfiction versus a novel book. But nonetheless, the stories here are that are captured and they're written are real life stories and things that you didn't know, Rob, like the Nazi dive bombers, you know, designed to make a frightening shriek as they dove to Earth to dump destruction. I mean, boy, they wanted to make sure people were scared out of their wits, did they not?
They were. World War II is really a study in fear. The Nazis were masters of fear. If you think about it, the Gestapo couldn't be everywhere all the time. But fear was one of their strongest allies.
Mm-hmm.
And they used it very, very well, very, very powerfully. Yeah, the fuselage, as I understand it, in one of the German planes was designed that it would make a terrifying sound when they dive bombed. It didn't make the bombs explode any differently, but just that twist of fear. Fear is, my day job is to teach psychology at Judson University, and I know from my professional studies, fear is a very powerful motivator. The Nazis were masters at it.
Yeah. I was raised by nuns, so I know about fear. Just teasing.
Okay.
Only partially true, I'm telling you. You know, just being a Catholic, you know, the fear of God is a big thing, you know, so, that was the deal. So I'm only partly joking, although I'm probably going to have a nun call me up and go, what dare you compare us to the Nazis, you know, just kidding. Just a little childhood memory humor. That's all. But
well, I'll tell you a true story about nuns in World War II that doesn't have anything with fear.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are. It was time travel, all right, Bill. You go back, and you're looking, and they can't see you, but you can see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not making fun of nuns or Catholics. Yeah. You see a nun pushing a baby carriage.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what in the world? Well, she's pushing a baby carriage because she needs something with wheels to go out in the country to get food. Other people have wheelbarrows,
wow. Yeah.
Wagons, whatever you have. But if all you have available is a baby carriage, it doesn't matter if you're a nun or not. You're going to use that to go out and get food.
Exactly.
And you would trade your valuables, your silver, your jewelry. You know, if you're going to starve, what good are your valuables? You go out there and see what they would give you in exchange for food.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for saving me. But that's the truth. The fact that people would do whatever, as you mentioned earlier, with the young girl on a bicycle, maybe without any tires, just anything that could roll down the hill in order to go and get some food and, you know, to bring it back. But, you know, this is, you know, we're so removed from this, Rob, from war. And I think there's, you know, we can be grateful for being so removed from war, but yet, in some cases, we're so close. And I say we're so removed here in the United States, but there's other parts of the world that are living hell right now, right?
Yes, yes, we're very, very blessed. And as we were talking about before, you look at the story and you say, you know, what I have done that. So here's another story for you.
Yes.
A man gets on his bike and he rides to the country. He gets food. He's coming back. He gets stopped at a checkpoint. The Germans say, what have you got? And they're threatening to take his food.
Mm.
And the man gets mad. He says, I'm not going home empty-handed to my family. He reaches in his pocket. He's got a pistol.
Mm.
And he gets the drop on these three soldiers. He pulls a gun on them and he says, you, jump into the river below. Right now. And so they, rather than be shot, they jump into the cold river below, and then the man pedals home with his food.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it makes you wonder how many other instances like that took place. And, you know, for people to finally, you know, when you get to that point where it's life or death, and, you know, as it was for the other gentleman, just saying, hey, look, they're going to kill us anyway. You know, what do we got to lose here, right?
Right. I have a positive story to share with you. There was one of the stories I read was, so a boy goes to the farm to get food. He only has a small coin, like a Riksdaler. It might be like a dime to you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in line. He finds out that the price is two of these coins, and he's only got one. And everybody's playing two. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? And he steps up to the farmer, and he says, I'm sorry, sir. I only have one coin. The farmer says, come over here real gruffly.
Mm-hmm.
Takes him out of sight of everybody else. The boy's sweating bullets. What's this guy going to yell at me? He fills the bag full of grain, hands it to him, and he says, go ahead, enjoy it. He runs his fingers through the boy's hair. He says, that's how we treat boys that only have one coin. Now you go home and be safe.
Oh, wow.
So I think hardship brings out the best and worst in people. Eleanor Roosevelt said, people are like tea. We only find out what's inside when we get put in hot water.
Mm,
and the story does that. You see the best and worst of some of the Germans and some of the Dutch people also.
Exactly. Well, and when we were talking earlier about the bad stuff, interestingly enough, and researchers have said that it was such a minority of people. It's much the same way right now when we consider, you know, China. You have communist China. You have the leaders that are very nefarious and doing all sorts of evil thing, from, you know, incarcerating, organ harvesting and, you know, education camps and all that, a small minority at the end of the day. And I think they determined in Germany, probably only 10% were actually Nazis. The rest of them just went along to get along. So 90% of the country, theoretically, numbers wise, was not necessarily supportive of the Nazi regime, but yet, you know, all Germans got colored, with what the Nazis did.
Mm-hmm. There were some people in Germany that were actually fighting. They're actually resistance.
Mm-hmm.
They tend not to get too much attention. And, of course, the vast majority of Germans knew nothing of the concentration camps, or they didn't know the full story, really the world either,
exactly,
until the war was over.
Well, in Germany, to their credit as a country, made sure, I mean, this was one of the things that they committed to, that, you know, to your point, they were not aware of, and made sure that the citizens went through a concentration camp. And I saw a video, Rob, where they're, you know, it's like a Sunday walk in the park as they're going in with their, you know, with their coverings and coats and all that. And then it shows them exiting. And the way they went in and the way they came out was diametrically opposed. They were, you know, their shoulders, everything. So, I mean, you could tell whatever they witnessed and experienced in the Nazi camp was so horrific that, you know, you just couldn't help and could only imagine what they must have seen. But I thought it was wisdom by the German government to make sure that people understood, you know, what was going on, because I believe as a result of doing that, the German people could kind of understand a little bit more about, you know, people outside of Germany, how they perceived the Germans, and they needed to get some, you know, clarity and understanding on it so that they could relate and maybe have you know, have there be a bridge to where we could, you know, reunite Germany to the world.
Yes. I've got another story for you. It's not a concentration camp story, but pre-concentration in a prison. So Corrie Ten Boom, many of your listeners will know her story. She and her family were hiding Jews. They were captured for it. Right. And the Jews were in hiding. The Germans searched the house, couldn't find it, so they boarded up the house so that the Jews inside would starve. Well, what's the resistance going to do? And they put a guard on the house. The resistance came at night in through the roof and let the Jews out. So that's good news.
Yes.
But Corrie is in jail. How are they going to get word to her? If you send her a letter, you know the Germans are going to read everything that comes into the prison. So they send her a letter underneath the stamp. Corrie removed the stamp, and underneath the stamp it said, all the watches are safe. She and her family had a watch shop, but of course it wasn't a reference to the watches.
Right.
It was a code word for, we got the Jews out and they are safe. So a lot of heroism, a lot of ingenuity that comes out of World War II. I think that's one of the things that inspires us and draws us to reading the stories like that, and
exactly,
one of the things that led me to want to write Hunger Winter, to share some of those stories.
What a great story. Under the stamp, to give her a sense of comfort. Gosh, I mean, I've heard and have read so much about Corrie Ten Boom. I don't think I've ever heard that, Rob. That's thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Tell us some more. We got about a minute and a half left here.
Okay, let's see here. So this is kind of a funny story. Mm-hmm. The Hunger Winter was tragic. Kids were starving, and some of the children would go to bed ridiculously early because they were bored.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have enough food, you don't have energy to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like, let's go out and play a game. No, that's going to burn up calories and so on.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened during the Hunger Winter, tragically, is that pets were stolen and eaten in restaurants. I'm sorry for your listeners that are eating lunch now.
Right.
In restaurants, if there was a... Yeah, there was an item on the menu called roof rabbits.
Roof,
that was the code for a domesticated cat.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, you never know until you know, right? And
yeah.
And this hunger winter, how long did it take place and when did this happen?
So it was the end of World War II, from September 44 to Liberation May 45. So the people, they were without food for incoming food for 8 months.
Wow.
Netherlands had been a fertile farmland. They had all kinds of food, but Germany took all their food, and so the people were starved for 8 months, and 20,000 people died.
Well, Rob, congratulations on the book. How can people be in touch with you? We've got about 15 seconds left.
Okay, my website is robcurryauthor.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E. The book Hunger Winter, a World War II novel, is available everywhere you buy books online.
And we'll link it on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Rob Currie, thank you for being with us. Be blessed.
Thank you so much, Bill.
You got it.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you